My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
What's up? Happy Friday. Bulldog is back. Playing hurt.
Yo, yo.
Was that convincing enough?
Tried to give it my best sick voice, like I'm calling the boss.
You're that way.
I'm kidding around. Sure. This is probably how I'm going to sound. I got to get warmed up.
You're kidding around because who calls the boss?
Right, who calls the boss?
In 2024.
We text the boss.
You text the boss.
And there's no I'm sick. Well, I guess there could be. I could make the little vomit face emoji with whatever, but you just have to take our word for it.
You are the type, you go into detail.
I sometimes do. Yes.
I think there's probably, if I may, go into sort of psychoanalysis mode here. There's probably like a little feeling of guilt.
Oh, there's
so
a huge feeling of
you
guilt.
You want to be descriptive. You want to be able to convince people that this disability you're suffering from is so intense that there's just no way you could come in.
Every time I text you and the boss, leading up to that and then actually hitting send is like the hardest part of being sick for me. Because I am overwhelmed with guilt. Tuesday afternoon, I bailed out on you at 5 o'clock. So I was in my attic, which was like 88 degrees. I don't have air conditioning up there anymore. And I was freezing. I'm like, I think I probably got to go to bed. This is not right.
You bailed on Ross. I mean, that says it all.
Right. So the being sick sucks, but I feel more sick about the guilt. I'm not looking for sympathy here. I'm just saying the way I'm wired, I don't like missing stuff that I'm responsible for.
I don't know that I feel any less guilty because I know there are people who don't have the luxury to call in,
right.
You know, and still get paid, you know, right? Like I think about that part of it, but you don't have to be descriptive.
No, I know.
You know, you don't have to be like, here's the timeline. So I started to get a fever, then I got chills, and then I threw up, and then, like, you're more like that. I will be more, I'm not going to be in today.
Yeah.
And here's where I'm definitely, you know, inferior to you, is that anytime I've ever sent the sick message, you always say, I hope you feel better. And I almost never bother to do that. I don't respond at all.
You sometimes give me a K.
I used to give Ks until you told me that was bad.
And so now I don't get anything. That's right.
Now I don't really. I think it. Yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I'm on my own today.
Right.
And then a part of me resents you. And then I just don't say anything.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I want you to feel better.
There's a whole gamut of emotions that we both go through, like when the shoes are on the other foot. Because, yes, exactly. Oh, come on, dude.
Right. Suck it up.
I get that, right? Yeah, there was no sucking anything up. You can hear me now. I imagine what I sounded like when I felt really bad.
That's another thing about this job is you sometimes feel okay, but can't talk.
Yeah.
That wasn't you in this case, but there's also those.
Right.
So you want to be able to, like, go out.
The worst for me, like, I would rather not be able to talk because then I absolutely don't. As guilty as I still feel, I feel better if I know I cannot speak. What I hate is when I'm just all screwed up and I try to, this was Tuesday a little bit, I try to do it and we're in the middle of a conversation and I know it's my turn to talk coming up and my brain is just not working the way it should be. And I'm like, I'm not really sure who we're talking about right now. I don't know what to do next. Like that feeling eats me alive, but I feel like I should be because I can talk. So I should be able to do this if I can talk. But you need to be able to think, too. Thinking helps.
Well, that's our mantra. Not everybody has that one.
Right.
But
right.
You and I are both, like, we want to be able to think clearly to do this.
Yes.
Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
What'd I miss?
Oh, well.
How's everybody doing?
I spent most of the last 2 days talking about how no one can throw the ball in the NFL anymore and why that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Wednesday, I mean, I did it like this. My whole Twitter is X, as you would say, is why can't – here's my reasons why teams can't throw the ball. And then yesterday was the same, only it was a lot of the same people talking to each other about it. And Mel Kiper screaming about ban too high safeties.
Right.
Like, it just escalated.
Yeah.
And my take is it will change back. Not necessarily to the point where everybody's throwing for 300 yards every week. But the NFL will not, does not want people screaming about illegal defense. This every time the league has been faced with any sort of motivation at all to improve offensive conditions, they'll do it. And that'll be through officiating. You were here when we talked about the stats last week or even Monday about illegal formation penalties and illegal shift penalties. And they're just not going to – there was one last night. Somebody was in illegal formation last night, and I'm like, well, it's not over yet. Just like a couple of inches too far back at the left tackle position, like maybe the Jets guy. Anyway, I think through different means, the league will arrive at, all right, well, this is not the biggest problem we thought it was.
And it won't, I don't, you know, officiating is a place to look. Like rules, different rules, we've seen that through the history of the league is how we ended up here in the first place with the explosion in passing. Excuse me. But there's also punch, counterpunch. You know, like, I just, right now it feels like one form of defense is getting all the credit for diffusing all of the explosive plays in the game. And there's definitely some truth to that. I'm sure it's not the only factor, but eventually offenses will, you know, there's only so many dudes you can place around the field. And so offenses will find, I heard Greg Cosell, excellent segment every Tuesday with Brownie and Tasker on One Bills Live on the way in today. And it's, you know, the seam plays are missing because of the two highs. Well, okay, so somewhere else than the seams, okay? You're just going to have to find a way, and they will. And if it goes too slowly, then the league will do something next offseason. So maybe this year we'll have a full year. Teams will never really figure it out, and there'll be some, you know, rules committee, you know, decisions made or whatever. Mostly, I just think offenses will figure out how to get what they want done, and defenses will then have to adapt to something else. And that's a big part of that might be the running game. I think teams have been maybe reluctant to stay with it because they know, like, you know, they're all studying the data. They know explosive plays. You heard McDermott talk like this in the wintertime, that your chances of scoring on a drive go up exponentially if you get a 20-yard play on a single drive. So you want to strive for that, but the alternative is trying to just grind it out, and you have to be really buttoned up. You can't take penalties. You can't make, you know, mistakes, turnovers, and just run and run and run to the point where teams like the Bills. I mean, the Bills might be, for all the times we're always looking around the league for who's copying whom and doing what to whom, I feel like McDermott's defense, the data over his time here, especially since they've become a contender, they're right at the top of limiting explosive plays. They just do not. We said it after Thursday night. Hill's longest reception as a Dolphin is 23 yards. Now, it's only a couple of seasons, but still. The Bills just do not give those plays up. And I'll bet a lot of teams have looked at how McDermott plays defense and are stealing stuff from him all the time here. And, you know, you got to find a way to adapt. And I think offenses eventually will. And that's why I think the Bills built their team maybe this year the way they did. They saw this train coming.
Yes. And so it's almost to the point where I'd want to say, whereas we spent the entire summer talking about how they'll compensate for the loss of Diggs, really it's more at safety that might have been interesting to look at. How they're compensating so far, and I think this is how it appeared going in, for the loss of Diggs, is just not worry about it. You know, the answer to who's their number one receiver is, so what? Like, they're just not, it's not, it's everybody snacks, you know, it's not going to be that somebody has to dominate and, you know, go for 100 yards every week, like Diggs did, you know, for stretches, not toward the end last year. But Hyde and Poyer, I think, I mean, I wouldn't say this wasn't deserved. So much credit for captaining the defense, never leaving the Bills exposed. A lot of that point about explosive plays, now they're gone, and so what? So far, so what? They played the Dolphins.
Right.
You know, of all teams they could have played to expose them, this is why I didn't like the Bills on Thursday night last week, because, well, now it's different, and Miami should be able to, I'm sure Tyreek Hill will catch a 25-yard pass, you know, like that's going to happen in this game, and it really didn't come close to happening in that game. So, yep, I think those are all interesting facets of it. Sal points out, and I think this was a great observation by him. We talked about this on Wednesday when he was at the owners' meetings trying to figure out, like, why is the market for safety so soft, right? Like, the Bills didn't go get any big name or anything, and he talked to different coaches. He talked to Andy Reid and McVay, who are kind of like, just back him up. You know, you don't need to spend.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't need Jamal Adams. You don't need a guy that is sort of like a beast in all facets. You rather just, you know, I'm going to play my safeties deep, because I don't want you to be able to beat me that way. And it's really also another, I think, accurate, smart way to put this is that for the last few years, and the Bills were also right in the center of this, offenses figured out how to win. And they finally evolved from this antiquated belief that you had to establish the run to be a good team. You know, like that finally, we had the NFL seemingly graduate from that. Not every announcer, but, you know, the teams kind of figured out, well, these passing plays have so much more expected value, and the explosive plays point, all of that. I've got this influx of quarterbacks who are just incredible. I want to lean into it. And now I think we're seeing defense kind of in its own way come to the same conclusion after maybe resisting that and suffering for it. Because we're still going to put eight in the box because you have Derrick Henry, you know? I mean, now defenses are playing like they've gone online, like the offense did.
Right.
And, all right, well, here's your 5 yards. Go for it. Knock yourself out.
Get your six if you want. You're going to have to do it 10 times. And you're going to have to not line up illegally. You're going to have to not get a holding penalty. You're going to have, you know, and, teams, you know, when they need it, they can, you know, if you have a potent passing game, you can still dig your way out of those long yardage, down and distance situations. But it's just not ideal. It's the kind of thing that the defense is willing to gamble on. I don't know. They're willing to sit back and just say, go ahead. Look, if you can do this for 12 plays and not make a mistake, congratulations. But it's going to be a tough way for you to live. And especially if you as a coach, a play caller on offense, your quarterback, your skill players, if they're inclined to get frustrated by it. and force it. Like they're going to wait for that too, and wait for a quarterback to be like, I'm tired of throwing it 6 yards. I'm Josh Allen. We've seen Allen be like this in his career.
Yep.
Not so much this year yet. And I say yet, like hoping we don't, of course. But the defenses are also banking on that. Like you are going to do what I want you to do, which is throw it into the teeth of this.
He is right now near the bottom of the league in passes that have gone at least 10 yards in the air. And that's really amazing, right?
Yeah.
Part of that is they didn't need it in at least last week's game because, you know, they're up by so much and it was kind of over early. So you end up with almost no passing production in that game from him.
I think 6 passes in the second half even. I mean, when do you play an NFL game where you throw the ball 6 times in the second half?
It was
when you're ahead by 21.
It was 2 passes for most of the first half in week one. Got higher at the end of the first half and then last week. So, yeah, it's a really interesting thing. The last part of it I'd say for now is it's so early and more than ever teams don't use the preseason to get ready. And so I think this will change because teams with more reps, more time to scheme as the season goes along will figure out ways to take advantage, just like football always has done. But through 2 weeks, maybe through 3 or 4 even, it makes sense to me that this is all happening, even though I was in terms of the Bills, but league-wide, I wasn't predicting it to be so dramatic this year. But this is the Bills are running exactly the offense I thought they would. Sideways, short, running, and 2-0, 30 points a game, more.
Right.
Through 2 weeks, so you can't blame them. But I think eventually they're going to have to be different or else they're going to lose.
And then all we did was, after you spent 2 days talking about that, all we did was have Aaron Rodgers go out last night and throw for 280.
280.
And he moved. Man, you think I'm dug in on he's going to break down and fall apart and I don't trust the Jets. Like, I tweeted for the first time in 3 days watching the game. He's running around. I'm like, he is moving way better than he was in week 1 or week 2, right? Like, this is not, and so much of what I got back was, oh, it's New England. Like, I don't care if he's on the field with no one. Watch him run. He's moving, I don't want to say effortlessly because he's 40, but it was not labored like it looked when I saw him in the summer and certainly in weeks 1 and 2. I would have thought if he had to play that game, like going into the game, you're going to tell me in order to make plays or big plays in the game, he's going to need to get out of the pocket and extend plays. I'm like, they're going to lose. He can't do that anymore. Well, for at least a night, you know, adrenaline of the home opener, I don't know, back at the scene of the crime from last year, I don't know. He looked 5 years ago, Aaron Rodgers, to me last night, and that shook me a little bit.
Man. It's just New England is about one of the worst points I could imagine. Right, because the Patriots have a notoriously weak, soft defense. I mean, nobody says that. The fact that it's New England, if it means anything, means it's better.
Yeah.
A couple of those plays were pretty easy, which, you know, whether it's New England or any other team, but why would it matter in a bad way that they were playing a team with a bad offense? Like, that doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, I wanted to ask about that, you know, to start here. We've gone back and forth in the Jets all summer. The AFC East right now. Yesterday, Joe Ostrowski talking about different movement in the futures odds. And, you know, I think my conclusion was maybe his is, man, it's just too early. He did say this himself, actually, as well. It's too early to explain all the line movement, you know, around the league. I mean, the Jets kind of tanked after the first game, and then even the second game didn't really help them in terms of like the odds. But I mean, it's just too early, and they still won that second game on the road, and Tennessee's defense is maybe pretty good too. So I never softened on them. I mean, the opener was bad, but San Francisco. And, you know,
now, sounded a little on Monday like Rodgers, you're a little like maybe with me, like he can't move.
I never needed him to move.
Okay.
I mean, that was my argument about him was he doesn't have to be like he was, how he played for the Packers when he was winning MVPs. All he has to, last night is all he has to do. The runs are fun and funny, but last night is all he has to do for that team to be good. They're going to bother everybody they play defensively. Even without Jermaine Johnson, you know, like Reddick, like they're tough. And so if you're the Jets, you're thinking, we're going to win every game we play with 20 points, especially in this climate. And what do you need then from your quarterback? If they won seven games with Zach Wilson, you know, and Tim Boyle or whoever last year.
Well, he did. He ran for some yards, but he extended plays really well last night. And to me, if they get that guy, I'm scared. If he can't do that, I think it limits what they're going to be able to do, which is why I wouldn't be as bullish on them as you have been. So that's the big swing for me. Like, I do, for me to be fully bought into the Jets as a contender, Super Bowl contender, division contender, whatever, I need to see him play like that. Because I agree, like, sure, if he just stands there, he'll be better than Zach Wilson was, but I think to be a real contender, you're going to need to be better than that. You're going to play good teams that are going to be able to do some things to you on offense. And I think if he couldn't move like he would have moved last night, I don't know that they would have had. I mean, they only needed 4 points to beat the Patriots last night. So, I mean, they probably would have gotten there.
They should have taken the challenge to score exactly four.
Right. But I'd be more bullish on them now after last night. Just, it's 1 week. If he can keep doing that, they're going to be a problem.
New England had 139 yards in the game.
Jeez, that is
11 first downs.
They were just so putrid to watch on offense.
Did you start Hunter Henry anywhere? A lot of people did. I was tempted. I tweeted Henry versus Kincaid. Henry's coming off 100 yards against Seattle. Kincaid's coming off what? Ever? And, you know, maybe, but Didn't. Our buddy Adam had a lot of Henry, though. He and I have a couple teams where we were a little bit torn. Henry versus Pitts was close.
I don't know what they're supposed to do there. I mean, to me, Mayo, I think, said this morning, Brissett is still the quarterback. They got May in for a series there at the end. But they just can't. They cannot. The Jets are hell up front. But they just can't protect at all. Like, I get not wanting to put that kid in there, you know, permanently. Getting him some snaps, great. But I would keep going with Brissett until I get stuff figured out up front, because it just is tough.
Yeah, May is the point. And that is a part of that decision. That's a part of that calculus, is what happens to him if we expose him to this. But how much better is their offensive line supposed to be by December? Like, when does he play then? If eventually, it's mostly going to be this team. It could even get worse if you have a couple injuries or something. Eventually, I think they're going to want to put him in. I think they should.
That's maybe something to watch back to the Jets, too. Moses, one of the older tackles, left the game. It's not, you know, season ending or anything, but a couple of weeks. So the rookie's in, and now the depth is already getting tested, and the left tackle, Smith from Dallas, is even more fragile, I'd say. So I'd keep an eye on that. Because I think they got what they needed last night, but I don't think that they're going to be great protecting him, which is why I'm so focused on him being able to move like he did last night.
It makes sense that Moses would be old.
It does, right?
Right.
He really leans into it too. Like a bald, big beard. He looks like a Moses.
He's ready to check on that Red Sea one more time, I think. Maybe his time off. Jets home to Denver next week. Then at Minnesota, then the Bills. That's the Jets.
Well, at Minnesota in London.
Oh, right. That's not even at Minnesota.
Right.
That's at London. So they don't play a real road game until after the Bills go there in week six. They've already played two. Football Friday on WGR. Coming up next, our first chat with Sam Panayotovic of BetQL. He is Joe Ostrowski's co-host on BetQL Daily. And I've never spoken with Sam. I don't think you have. But Joe told me yesterday, college football with Sam. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Tomorrow's games and the Sunday slate. 4 o'clock, Theo Greminger, player profiler, fantasy minded. And then at 5:30, it'll be Sal Today Picks at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog will be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.